Lord, we're so grateful that we can be up and about today, and we thank you that we could gather with many other people that believe in you. And we thank you, Lord, for this special day that has been set aside for many years, Mother's Day. And we would pray that this morning that your Holy Spirit would do a work in everybody's hearts, because we've all had a mother, or some are mothers. And there's every story about moms in the Bible that pretty much covers every situation for any woman that is a mother in this century. And it's interesting to see that issues of life are the same in every country and language. Being a mother is a great gift that you have given. And we're very grateful for that, Lord, that we have souls, and we have bodies, and we have minds at work, and we have a spirit if we be born again through Jesus Christ. So this morning, may you honor the mothers that are here in the gymnasium or an overflow room, or Lord, for all the radio stations in New Zealand and Australia and throughout the United States, that you would bless those that are listening. We pray for the people that are watching on the internet on their laptop or their iPad or something, and this is their Sunday morning service for them in Iraq or Afghanistan or on a ship or just in another state. We're grateful for the online church, and we pray your blessings of the Holy Ghost that would come upon them as they hear these words of encouragement. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask this. Amen. Now, I know that you've already turned around and shook hands with somebody. I'd like you to just turn around and see if you still have your wallet before I sit down. You can be seated, though, while you're doing that. This morning, we're very grateful for moms, and we would like to take, of all places, Exodus as a place to start about moms. And as I was struggling, really, there's the obvious. There's Proverbs 31, that a virtuous woman is more valuable than rubies and gems. That's kind of an obvious one, so I won't use it. I'll just tell you about it. And then, of course, Ephesians, husband and wife, and then the marriage and what you're supposed to do in raising children. That was obvious. So I came up with a less obvious platform for us to begin with. And if you want to turn to the 20th chapter of the book of Exodus, we'll look starting right at verse 1. God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. Egypt, always a picture or a metaphor for the world. And the world, to those that are believers, is Egypt. So when they came out of bondage, those of you that have been born again, it's like you were delivered with the Jews all those centuries ago, and you were set free. So there's much parallel, if you are new to the Bible, to read Deuteronomy and Numbers, Exodus, and get a feel for your life and what he's done for this nation. In fact, today, and in history itself, Israel is the only nation ever recorded anywhere at any time that was dispersed all over the world by their enemies. Their country leveled and decimated, and they have come back to their land, and it is one of the most powerful military and most powerful economic bases in the region, as small as it is. So there's so much to look at in your own life and to see the parallels of how close the news is right now of catching up with what the Bible's been saying for a long time. We're on the precipice. Those of you who are in the military, you know exactly what I'm saying. There's just a lot going on, a lot of hustling around. So this morning, we will look at what God said to these people. And he basically gave the Ten Commandments in this portion of Scripture. These weren't the Ten Suggestions. These were the Ten Commandments. And it is interesting that that's all he asked of mankind. If you follow these 10 things, But instead, the devil turns around and says, see how mean God is. If you're going to believe in him, that he gives you thou shalt not, and thou shalt, all these things that you shouldn't do, and you know you enjoy these things. They're pleasurable. They're in movies, they're in television, they're in magazines, they're on the radio. They're everywhere. But you have to be a prude to believe in God because he just doesn't want you to have any fun. Well, what a lie. There's only 10 things that he'd like us to work with in our lives. And in those 10 things, he's protecting us, literally protecting us. He doesn't want us to get hurt. And so if we follow his reasoning and not ours, we won't get hurt. One day, I was in a canyon, going down into a canyon in here in San Diego, and I had our dog with me. And so I took her off the leash, and I let her go running through the trails and in between the bushes. And I thought I saw this funny-looking stick laying where she was, where she just ran by. And it was a rattlesnake, and it blended in perfectly to the dirt and to the shrubs. And it was just stretched out, getting some sun on the very edge of the trail. You wouldn't have seen it. The dog didn't smell it or see it. So I walked past it and squatted down. It was watching every move I was making. It started to curl and protect itself. And that sound that you will never forget. You put your shoes and socks back on after you hear it the first time. Whoa, that's what it was. So I yelled out, Kayla, come on. And she came running around some curve and through some bushes and ended up right in front of me. And I said, sit. And so she sat. I clipped her leash on and I kept pointing to the rattlesnake. The rattlesnake was frightened. I said, look, right there. She's looking up here. And right there. And she got her tongue hanging out sideways and looking at me. What are you talking about? And I said, right there is a rattlesnake. My dog doesn't speak English, so it was a hard thing for her, really. So anyhow, the snake uncoiled, and that's what caught her attention. And she looked at that, and she watched it. She forgot I was there. She was so focused on this thing that she had never seen, a reptile, and making a noise and its tail going like that. And I said, no. And she wanted to launch out at it. I said, no, and pulled her collar, and she knew that was a really an emphatic no, because I was trying to protect her. She was unaware of the dangers that came with the decision she would make of going after that rattlesnake. And those of you who have dogs who have been bitten by rattlesnakes, they swell up, and they look kind of funny when they're swelled up, but some of them don't make it out of that. So many people have gone shipwrecked right here in San Diego, and their lives have fallen apart. I read an article that many of you read about an ex-mayor of San Diego that had a gambling addiction. Millions and millions and millions of dollars. She had married a very wealthy man. Her money is gone. And I remember when she was our mayor, riding the crest of popularity and politics, and then to see that somebody can fall from such a high place, it just must be heart-wrenching for that person and family. So the Ten Commandments are here not to bully us or coerce us. This is nothing more than a father loving his children and saying no, pulling on the yoke a little bit. Whoa, yes, sir. You're trying to get my attention? Yes. There's danger lurking in this world. And I'm going to give you 10 things that if you will live by them, you will have a peaceful life and a fruitful life. So God isn't out to curse us. Oh, how God loves mothers. He loves mothers. He designed mothers. He had the whole concept of mother. He had the understanding of genes and chromosomes. And he understood that mothers were going to be a very, very important point in his creation. There's a statement that all of us have heard. Maybe we've even said it, and it's this. Mom! And that's the inflection. That's usually when you're squealing on your little brother or sister. Mom! And then the next word is, I'm home! You ever hear that? Maybe you even said it. Think of that for a moment. Mom, I'm home. A little child, a young child, a tweener, getting off the bus. And as she walks in, she yells, "Mom, I'm home," which usually meant, "Do you have cookies and milk waiting for me? What do you have?" Little boy parks his bicycle, gets the kickstand, got his little Star Wars metal lunchbox, and he runs in the door, "Mom, I'm home." And that was a very popular scene in early days of television, of any family. "Mom, I'm home." Think of that for a moment, how powerful that is. "Mom, I'm home." Because it means that the center of this child's life is in the home. "Mom, I'm at the house." No, home. A house is a house, but when a family moves in and love pours out, that's a home. And the teaching in the pastoral epistles, it's very important that men feel their call to God, that they remember those verses. And it was speaking that the women should manage the home, and that the husband was over the wife, and the wife was over the family and the home, and the children were over the dog, and the dog bit the cat, and the cat got the goldfish. It's just a pecking order that goes on, right? So, "Mom, I'm home." What a warm statement to make. "Mom, I'm home. I know you've been home, but I'm safe because I'm in this home that you and Dad have made. And I know, Mom, you're here working all day, ironing my clothes and doing the loads of laundry, and you're having a lot of things on your mind, but I'm home, and that means time out that we can hug. But Mom, the center of the home, the child is safe. Mom, I'm home." Our text, God spoke all these words saying, "I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me." If you've never understood the Ten Commandments, you might want to underline that. "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For the Lord your God, I am the Lord your God, and I am a jealous God. I am visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments." Then he says, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." You know, people say, "Damn it." What a horrible thing to say. You're actually with your own mouth saying, "Damn this person. Damn this situation. Damn this household." And they use God's name. They think it's a swear word, which it is. It's using his name in vain. Who gives us authority to damn people? It's very important. So he says, I just don't want you to use my name in vain. Don't go saying you're a believer and you're not. You go to church, but it doesn't make you a believer. So he says, don't use my name in vain, that you're a believer, but you live like a child of this world or of the devil himself. Well, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Remember it. 6 days you shall work or labor. Do all your work. The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. And in it you shall do no work. You need to rest. Nor your male servant, nor your female servant, and your cattle, nor your stranger who is with you within your gates. For 6 days the Lord created the heavens and the earth. Now that's very important. These are the words of God that Moses has put down. And God himself says they're as you learned with Ken Ham here a couple Sundays and Mondays ago, that God has created. He's a wonderful creator. And Jesus told us that Satan is not a wonderful, but he is a destroyer and a murderer. He's not the counterpart of God. He's no way like God, but he has a PR machine that tells people that, well, Satan's the opposite of God. No, he's not. He cannot be omniscient as God is, cannot be all-knowing, omnipresent in every place at one time. He doesn't have the power to create. The only thing that we know that he created was a lie. And he is a liar and a deceiver. He has no counterpart to God. He was created as a servant of God, and he rebelled. So he says, I want you to be careful here. I want you to rest, that you can build your body up and your mind and your spirit. And for 6 days, the Lord created the heavens and the earth, the sea, all that's in them, and rested the seventh day. And therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and he reverenced it or hallowed it. All right, now that's it. That's all he's asking you to do in relationship with him. That's it, right there. Those four words. That's all he's asking. Is that you would not have any idols that you'd bow down to. You wouldn't have any other gods before me. You wouldn't waste your time by misusing my name. And you would rest. Now, is that horribly hard to do? Four things, that's all. Well, I thought I had to be religious. No. I thought I had to memorize the entire Bible backwards in Chinese. No. I thought I had to, and see, that's the lie of the devil. All God asks you in your relationship with him is keep your heart open for him. Now, notice this. That was four of the Ten Commandments. And Moses came down the hill of Mount Sinai, and it says that God etched with his finger these words onto the tablets that Moses brought up. That was a pretty impressive encounter to watch God with his finger just, you know, etch into stone. And when he came down the mountainside, of course, you know the story, that his brother Aaron, who is supposed to be having the people in prayer and humility and waiting on God, and instead they're just being raucous and they're partying. They have an orgy. It's just horrible. Oh, he got so mad. I've heard of new startup churches in San Diego for the last couple of years, and it's interesting as you get older and you love a city and a county, and you watch it as a shepherd, and you see what comes and goes, and you try to protect the sheep of God, and you try to feed. And some of the younger guys think they should serve wine at the services, or you can sit at tables like a cafe. And, you know, God's a little bit more, well, I think what I want to say is that we should be a little bit more respectful of God. We can't entertain people into the kingdom of God. We can't make up our own doctrine, but people do it. Nor can we hide the discipline of a person that should be reading the scriptures 7 days a week, memorizing as many as they could, and being a person of prayer, praying for other people, interceding for leaders and widows. There are widows indeed. And there's a lot said about widows and moms in the Bible who are single moms. I would say probably one of the toughest job assignments in the world is for a single mom that is youthful. Her children are young. It's the family has lost the father through whatever reason, but she has to go on and handle all those doctor visits and all those soccer games and baseball games and, you know, buy these kind of sports shoes and buy this hoop and get that basketball and be at that PTA meeting and do the laundry, cook, make the beds, you know. It's a full-time, all-day job for a single mom like that. So verse 12 takes us right to the meat. Honor your father and your mother. and why. The only one that he tells us why in a promise. Honor your father and your mother so that your days may be long upon the land when the Lord your God, which the Lord your God is giving you. Honor your mother. Yes, it says the father, but we're on Mother's Day right now. Honor your mother. Honor your mother. Next one says, thou shalt not, or you shall not murder. Next one says, you shall not commit adultery. But look at our media, how it actually pays actresses and actors, producers and directors, millions of dollars to make the plot have acceptable adultery in the midst of it. It's acceptable. Not in God's eyes. It's not acceptable. Adultery is a destroyer. It will ruin you. You will be knocked out for years with a scar if you don't take it to the Lord. And there's nothing more that I've seen that's hurting than the death of a child than to talk to friends that they've committed adultery. And they want to know, should they tell their wives? And what do they do? With tears. For many years. There's a common thread to sin in our city. Honor your mother and your father. You shall not murder anybody. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey. Of course, none of your neighbors have oxes or donkeys in the, you know, so you won't covet his Porsche or his ski boat. All those big screens he has throughout the house, you won't covet what other people have, and you don't. Boy, it's a peaceful way to live. So don't covet that which produces for him, the ox, the donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. And that's it. Those are the Ten Commandments, if you've never read them. And we see that four of those commandments, I'm not giving you any gang signs right now, I'm just four of the signs. All I know is for sizzle. I don't know anything else other than whatever. And those are simple things. But on the tablets, you just read them, there were six things for you and me to do concerning people. Four things concerning your relationship with God. Six things concerning your relationship with people. If it's people in business, people on your team, people that you love, neighbors, whatever it is, people. That's it. There are six of those. So it seems if there's four for God and six for you, I'm going to have more trouble getting along with you than I am with God. I have to work two times more for our relationship than I do with his relationship. So God hasn't made it tough or rough. He's just saying this is what is going to happen. You'll live this life. All right, so there's 10 of them. And did you pick up on this already? Smack dab in the middle of the 10 commandments is mother. Did you notice that? Right in the middle of how you get along with God and how you get along with man is mom. And we are to honor her or her memory. But we are to honor her as we do our father. And I'll be the first to admit that maybe, in my father's case, you don't see why you should honor your mother or your father. Well, it's because God asked you to. That's why. And yes, you may have had a rough childhood, but you're not a child anymore. You're an adult. You have to grow past that. Hand it over to God and say, this thing, I want it out of my life. I ask you to forgive me for the anger, bitterness, hate, whatever. And you watch your heart just burst like a dam with roaring water pouring over it. How free you will be. And it's not your responsibility to change a parent. That's God's responsibility. Just like it was God's responsibility when your mom and dad prayed for you for 30 years. And they kept waiting and waiting for you to change. And now you've changed and you forgot that part of it. right smack dab in the middle of the Ten Commandments, God says, honor your mother. That's powerful. He didn't say, honor your airplane or honor your disco music in the ball with your John Travolta suit on dancing in the night with Abba or with the other guys. No. The honor goes to the one who birthed you. One thing I have regretted is that I wish I would have taken all the old pictures that my mother had, the old black and whites from the turn of the century, the other century, and ask her, who are all these people? And write on the back of them, this was old Fester McGuire. He came, you know, and really, yeah. He was your second cousin from your third brother's wife, stepsister's niece. Oh, okay. But at least you'd know who these people are. We did for our kids about 6 years, 7 years ago, a genealogy. And all they have to do now, go back to 1574, follow the McIntoshes and the Ridditts, and it brings us right up to Mike and Sandy, and then our children. And each one now can go all the way back to the 1500s of where they have come from. And I find it so fascinating to know these characters that came before us. But there's moms everywhere along the line of life. Mom all the way back to the ark when the earth was flooded. Mom all the way back to Isaac, Jacob, and Esau. Mom all the way back to Adam and Eve. Seth, Abel, Cain, all the other children for years that were born. Mom was in the garden with God. That's pretty powerful. Mother was right there with God, being taken out of the rib cage of man, and she's been ribbing him ever since. And God took all that out and healed him up, but through this bone that had the bone marrow in it, was able to take what man was but give properties to a woman that would allow generation after generation to propagate the human race, and that God could bring salvation and God could bless them and you and me. Mother is smack dab in the middle of this. So he didn't give us these commandments to curse us. And yet the world says God is not dead. God is alive. God is not relevant, some people say. I'd say the people that think that way are not relevant at all. God is very relevant. But this world is evolving and revolving, but never solving. It's sad. They want to go to evolution, always evolving into something, and this is what, well, your parents didn't like this, but we are going to do this in our generation. Well, it's wicked. You call it wicked, but who are you? We'll just shut you down. Oh, okay. Honor your mother. Mom, I'm home. People of this world desperately need to realize they can be taken care of in God's kingdom. If you take home these three simple little points, the Ten Commandments, 4 for your relationship with God, 6 for your relationship with man. All he asks you to do in the middle of the 10 is honor your mother. That's all. Right in the middle of thou shalt and thou shalt not is honor your mother. Very special. A family that honors its parents is a family that is going to have kids that leave the house that'll honor the policeman. They'll honor the professor. They'll honor the dean. They'll honor the owner of the company that's interviewing them for the job. They will honor and respect everybody that they work beside. They have honor and patriotism for their country. And they know what they have to do. And yet, out of their hearts, they are doing it to honor the red, white, and blue. Where did they learn such honor? right smack dab in the middle of the Ten Commandments. Honor your mom. Honor your father. It is the only commandment given that promises you longevity and that you will have a good life. Honor. Number one, moms are in the middle of everything. Some mothers followed their kids around. I know mine did. I didn't know that until I was like 40-some years old that I met somebody from Portland, Oregon, and she was saying, you remember when you guys would come to our Dairy Queen on Friday nights and Saturday nights? Says, your mother was within 15 minutes of you every week. I said, no way. No, she wanted to know what you were up to, walking around the streets down here by the mall thing. And I thought of that. It's not a bad idea with my kids. I could put those ankle bracelets on them that the cops have, and they could walk around the neighborhood and do whatever they want, but I'll know where they are. Honor your mother is the hope for mankind. Honoring your mother is a bridge that is built between heaven and your living room. When you teach honor and respect, you shall receive honor and respect. It's a bridge. God and you are going to converse and talk about many things. The bridge is built. Because you honor your mother, you can now honor him, being taught the scriptures as a little boy or a little girl. You can honor him. Is it any wonder that "Mom, I'm home" has changed to "Mom, I'll text you when I get home"? Big difference. Because now children in largest numbers go to an empty house after school. So if I were the devil, which I don't want to be, he's got bad breath, he's nothing. He's a liar and a cheat and a murderer and a destroyer. He brings no good to a person's life. He tells him, that one beer won't hurt you. He does that for 4 or 5 years, and before you know it, it's not the beer that's hurting you, it's the bottle of whiskey that goes along with it. He doesn't tell you the ramifications that if you do not wait until marriage, of what's going to happen to your body, possibly, that could come as a disease to you that you'll carry your entire life. No, he makes it so glamorous. He makes it so that women are immodest and looking subservient, that their bodies are what are important to attract the male eyeballs towards them. No, the devil is no good for you. He's a liar. Don't believe him. Leave him today. Yes, I'll text you when I get home. If I were the devil, you split the family. One great leader one time said, if you want to destroy a nation, take out its roots. And the office, the position, the place of mother has been under attack as many things since the 1960s. No, Mom, you need to be liberated. You need to have women's rights. Well, God has given you the most rights of anybody. The joy of serving and loving him. He knows if he can get the roots of the family, the roots of patriotism, the roots of honor, and shatter them, let alone get the Bible out of society, get preachers with their mouths zipped up. And in the middle of it is Mom. Because every president, every senator, every congressperson has a mother. And when they call up the White House or the outhouse, they say, it's me. And everything stops. Excuse me, it's my mom. Stop it. My mom's on the phone. Quiet it down. Hey, what's going on in the background? Nothing, Mom. Nothing. Just a little nothing. We're studying hard here in the dorm. Yeah, okay. He just hates you so much that even the remembrance of mother can be blurred and you'll believe his lie about your mom. Kids say the darndest thing was a show when I was growing up, one of the very first shows actually on television. And there was a man named Art Linklater that used to host that. And this was black and white TV days, like Jim Ryan shared with us, the black and white when he won his silver medal. And he would sit these kids on chairs and he'd come along and ask them a question. Now, Bill Cosby picked this up a few years ago, and he's been doing it. But for mothers, we went out and found some information, data, statistics for you. And they went to elementary school children. And they wanted to know what they thought about mom. So their first question that was given to a classroom was, why did God make mothers? Why did God make mothers? And some of you mothers are just waiting for this answer. You've wondered for years too. Why did he make mothers? He didn't have to. You know, it's springtime. We have a very nice backyard, lots of flowers. There's hummingbirds humming, some of them in unison, couple playing small guitars and ukuleles. They're just eating everything in our backyard and getting that sugar rush, I guess. And so I put out some seed, like any old guy would do. I'm sounding really old now. I watch the birds, you guys. So I have this flat box, and I spread that, and the doves like that because there's something in it they like. And then the finches like something else. And so when I study in the backyard, I try not to move because they spook easy, but they've gotten used to me being close to them. And so I sprinkle it on some rocks in our backyard and into a bird house, and the little guys go in the bird house and they can't be messed with the doves. And the hawk, I'm sitting studying with my Bible open, and a red-tailed hawk with a spread about that big swooped out of the air from nowhere, and I heard it like an airplane coming in for final approach with his engines whining but not full power. Whoosh, he touched my shoulder with his left wing on purpose. And he took off again. He almost hit the fence, but he made it up. He scared all those little baby birds away. Well, right under our bedroom, there is a pipe that is a water drain. So when you get water on your little patio off your bedroom, it goes downhill into this pipe down to the backyard. And a mother decided to build a condominium there. And she has the dad is so great to watch. They communicate all the time. One's on top of the roof or on top of the patio cover, and they're talking to each other. Then all of a sudden, one swoops down and finds a little type of a worm or something in our grass, and then goes up on top of the whatever that is, the basketball thing. And I saw him tapping something, and I realized he was breaking up the worm and flying back and forth and taking pieces. Wow, these little guys are going to be flying someday. But there's danger out there. There's hawks. There's barn owls. There's a big black cat in the yard behind us that crouches along the hill, and he freezes. And then the little birds that can't get into the feeding areas, they walk around on the ground looking for some seed. Well, this cat knows that. And he was creeping. He was ready to launch. And I came blasting out of the door. I said, "You black cat, get out of here." He went up and flew through the air. It was very good to see. He didn't get one of them. Why did God make mothers? How protective these birds, this mother of these little peepers outside of our dining room. Well, one little boy said, "The reason God made mothers is she is the only one who knows where the Scotch tape is." So you see, the little minds aren't developed yet. And though you slave all day long and tuck them in at night and say a prayer with them, they're wondering, "Aren't you the person in charge of Scotch tape? I haven't seen any Scotch tape lately." One little girl said, "Why did God make mothers?" "Mostly," she said, "to clean house." No, that's not it. When Philip, he doesn't like me to tell stories. He's over teaching at the junior high, I think. So don't tell him I said this. Anybody on the radio, the internet, I didn't say this. Pass the word. I know he'll get mad. I can't say it. We went to dinner at, he was about 8 or 9, 9, 10 years old. And so one night I took the family to, it used to be Kobe Masano's up there in Kearney Villa Road, the Japanese restaurant. And you know, they have the seats all around the burner. And then the chef comes and throws his knives in the air. And once you get them out of your hand and your back, he starts. And you know the table I'm talking about? So he's doing all that. So they had never seen this before. And I was having a good time because a friend of mine knew the owner. And the owner, for some reason, liked me. And once in a while, he'd say, "Bring your family. It's on me." I said, "Be here in about 20 minutes. So we're all sitting there, and I've got all the kids and the guy's doing it. They just love it. He makes the pile of rice and onion rings, and then the volcano goes off. And they were just thrilled. And so Philip, when everybody settled in, eating their food, he said, "Dad." I said, "Yeah, Phil, what?" That's another thing. He didn't like to be called Phil. Don't tell him I said this. He said, "Hey, Dad, I think it would be cool if you would buy one of these flat-top stoves and Mom could cook for us like this guy." And she looked at me. I said, "No, I can't buy one of those. I'm sorry." But he just thought, you know, his image of that time was Mom could be the Japanese chef and and I'm the guy that would figure out how to pay for it. Thanks. I appreciate that. They say the darndest thing. One little boy answered the question, "Why did God make mothers?" And he said, "To help us get out of there when we were getting born." This is going to be a scientist, I'm sure. Smack dab in the middle of God's commandments to mankind and humankind, he says, "Honor. Honor your mother." Second point is that mothers have a strategic mission from God. They have a strategic mission. Moms are in the middle of everything. They split up the fights. They sort out the socks. They do everything. But right in the middle of it, "I'll take care of that. I talked to him last week. We'll get this fixed this week. I'll take care of that." And Mom, you're just going so many directions as a young woman. And you can get discouraged at times. But the second point is important. Mothers have a strategic mission from God. Maybe you've never known that before we go home. I'm reading a draft, a copy of a new book from Anne Graham Lotz that she sent to me to read through and make some comments and then to make some statements that could be used on the cover or whatever. And it's just really a great book. Hagar, she uses to start out. Here's this young, beautiful girl. She's given by the king of Egypt to Abram and Sarai, because Sarai was so beautiful, one of the most beautiful women in the world, apparently, and she was taken by the king as they were passing through Egypt, and he said to his wife, Abram said, "Tell them you're my sister, lest they kill me to get you." And she did. She didn't lie. She was a half-sister. And when the king went to bed one night, God appeared to him and said, "This man, Abram, that's a visitor, you had better not touch his wife." "Wife!" And the next morning, he's really upset and angry and said, "Why didn't you tell me this was your wife?" "Well, I knew you'd kill me." He said, "Get out of here. Take all these goats and sheep and camel, stacks and bags of silver and gold, and get out of here." He instantly got rich. This happened a second time because of her beauty. And he said, "Tell him you're my sister." And he got even more wealth. And God used that and started a nation. Mothers have a strategic mission. Rachel had a strategic mission. Naomi had a strategic mission that would lose her husband and her two sons and one of her daughter-in-laws. The agony and the pain was so much in Naomi's life over the loss of her sons and her husband that her face must have been etched with sorrow. Because it says that everyone in Bethlehem came out to see her when she came back from being gone for one decade, 10 years. And they said, as she appeared on the main street of Bethlehem, "Is this Naomi?" Pleasantness. This couldn't be her. "Is this Naomi?" Pleasantness. And she says, "No longer call me pleasantness, Naomi, but call me Mara, for grief and sorrow has come into my life and it's turned to bitterness. Moms, if grief has overcome you, it is very natural to have grief. It's very normal. But it doesn't have to overcome you and depress you. Yes, it's going to be hard. But God would stand with you. Don't forget that. And if you're a fatherless child, between your mother and you, you are the only ones that God has given warnings about. Don't touch the widow. A widow indeed should be cared for by the church. If a widow has children and other family members, let them support and take responsibility. But the church is a vessel for the widow who is a widow indeed. And James, the son of Joseph and Mary, said in his book, the Epistle of James, very clearly, pure religion, undefiled, pure religion, undefiled, it's pure, is visiting the widows and the orphans in their affliction. That's the simplicity of it. That's the outreach of it for church. Finding those down and outers that can't get up on their own two feet. Elizabeth, she was so excited to see her cousin Mary. Elizabeth with John the Baptist in her womb. Mary with Jesus in her womb. What a story for those moms. You could go on through the Bible. We could go on for hours, but you're going to go home now. Just connect the dots and see God's hand upon your life. Just connect the dots and see God's hand on your life. And smack dab in the middle of it, your mother that brought you into this world is to be honored. Each individual situation, I understand, is something different. But you honor, and God will bless. That's all. Honor the thought. Honor the memory. My mom was so hysterical before she went to heaven. Hysterical funny. I mean, we'd get talking, and she'd just come off with some really funny things. I think, where did that come from? But I watched my mom as a single mom making 50 bucks a week, I found out, when I was a sophomore in high school. And you can't raise two teenage boys and put them through sports on 50 bucks a week. And it was only in the last 5 years that I realized that's why my mom was working overtime on Saturdays, so that she could let my brother and I run track, play football, wrestle, keep us out of trouble. We didn't know what trouble was, because she distracted us. Moms are wise. Moms have eyeballs everywhere. Moms can hear things between concrete walls when the kids close the door of the bedroom. And when she says, "What are you doing in there?" she knows exactly what you're doing there. You're making a mess, probably. You're just doing something you shouldn't be doing. Connect the dots, and you'll see God has been with you for so many years. He has upon your life, your family, your friends, the blessings of a church, congregation, just the blessings of loving and knowing him. And in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 30 through 33, he says, "You have known I've cared for you all these years. I've provided for you. I moved you through the desert by a pillar of fire at night, so that when you got up at night, there'd be a little nightlight covering the whole desert. And a pillar of smoke, a cloud of smoke in the daytime. And that's when you would move, because that clouded the hot sun down by the Dead Sea. God took care of them, gave them air conditioning and heating. He looked after them. They wore the same clothes for 40 years. I know some of you girls are saying, "Oh, yuck. 40 years, the same sandals, the same robes. It never wore out. There are no stores to go shopping out there." And he says, "Even though I have done all of this for you, you still don't turn to me. Why? Why? Turn to me. Choose this day whom you are going to serve," Elijah said to the Israelites. Either serve the devil and curse God, or curse the devil and serve God. Hey, Mom, I'm home. You have a strategic mission to get a little boy out of Claremont Mesa into a good place and into a good school and take that talent of scribbling on the walls with chalk and see that fine art that is coming out of those pencils when he's 13, or in some cases he's playing Eddie Van Halen as loud as he can in his room, and you're going, oh, why did I ever get in that guitar? That was me, actually, because Jonathan now is a very well-known Nashville producer, but he started with someone that cared. Finally, mothers are the most special people on earth. How did God make mothers if they're the most special thing? One little boy said, he used dirt, just like the rest of us. He said, how did God make mothers? Magic, plus some superpowers, and a lot of stirring. How did God make mothers? And she said, he made my mom just the same like he made me. He just used bigger parts. Very thoughtful. Hey, Mom, I'm home. So mothers, never give up. Don't lay down and say, I just want to die. You are in the middle of everything. Yes, that's a fact. Everybody looks for that Scotch tape through you. One little boy said, my mother is the most powerful person in the house. And so they asked the little boy, why? We know who's in charge in our house, because she's the one we have to go ask if we can sleep over at somebody's house. Oh, I see. So dad just sort of says, go talk to your mom. Honor your mother. God will bless you. You're in the middle of the things. You are a strategic part of God's plan, and you are special. You're very special. I want you to do something, moms. Would you just hold your hand up for a second? This isn't going to embarrass you. Okay, I want to see how many moms. All right, now, make a fist and just put your thumb facing me so your fingerprints facing me. Ready? Now, all together, repeat after me. I am thumb buddy. Yeah. Shall we stand and shall we pray before you stone me? It is such a joy, Lord, to hear of your good news, that you're not an old meanie. These lady that are thumb buddy are ladies that you love and you protect. You gift them to see into their daughters' hearts and their sons' hearts. And you know their personalities. You've watched them in a totally different way than we fathers do. And your tenderness balances out our gruffness and our desire to make them a man. And you have used the mother very strategically for your kingdom. And that these women are very special. The whole role of mother is because from their loins come the leaders of the nations, the educators of the future, the men and women that will walk on Mars and on the moon, the pilots of some of the fastest airplanes to ever be revealed. These moms are raising up the nurses and the doctors, the car mechanics that deal in truth, the lawyers, the professional people, the working class. And no matter where in society mom lives, that gift in her heart follows her. And for those, Father, today that have lost their children, would you comfort them with this thought, that they're special. You chose them. You're working everything out according to your plan. And Lord, would you bless these young mommies that they could see laying their lives down for their family is one of the greatest honors you could give to a man or to a woman. And may we, through this message throughout the country, may we see a change in the hearts of mothers and children, that America could see a revival and an awakening, not in church attendance, but home attendance with you. That the family would sit together in prayer over the day that is coming and the day that is gone. That families may know to bless their meals, that some people aren't eating, and you have brought every meal to us, no matter who we are. Lord, may you bless those who have lost their mothers with the memories. You said, whatsoever things are good and whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are kind or pure, of good report, think upon these things. So let us hold dear that thought and honor our mothers. And may all the mothers today be filled overflowing with the Holy Spirit. And may their thoughts and memories of their sons and daughters be filled with happiness and with joy. We don't know your ways or understand them, but we know that to be blessed, to be a mother, you put her right in the middle of things. Emotions, right in the middle. Spirituality, right in the middle. Taking care of herself, right in the middle. Lord God, bless this day in Jesus Christ's name, we pray. And as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, there are some of you mothers that need special prayer. And we would like to give you that opportunity as we pray right now. But over to your right, to my left, is a door. It says prayer on it, big letters, prayer. There's many men and women that have been trained to just pray with you, not take anything for you or hit you up for money, just to pray with you. That's all. And now, standing up, there are some of you mothers that you need to pray, maybe for your first time, that you would ask God to forgive you of your sins, and that you would ask His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come into your heart and to fill you with eternal life. God would erase all the years of pain and sorrow and of sin, for the Bible says love covers a multitude of sin. For you, dear mothers, listen carefully. For you, dear mothers, that have had to surrender or give up your children, do not think badly of your decision. God is with you. He has followed you. He has been beside you. He has helped you without you knowing it. And God knows the child, and He knows the days that He has for that child and for you. And the prayers to you are of tenderness and gentleness, that you would forgive yourself if necessary, and that you would accept the warmth of God's love and forgiveness in the name of Jesus Christ. And if you would turn your heart this day to the Lord Jesus Christ, who was crucified on the cross for your sins and buried in a grave, and the Lord God Almighty raised Him from the dead, and Jesus calls unto you, whosoever comes, there is no way I would reject you. So come to the Lord this day. Bless your heart and the rest of your life with God's presence. So as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, as I look over this broad gymnasium, I'd like you to look up at me and just raise your hand that I could see you. I'd like to pray for you this afternoon when I'm with my family, blessing their mom. Just lift your hand up and say, yes, I want eternal life. I want my sins forgiven, and I want to go to heaven. Yes. Anybody else? Oh, yes, very top there. I'm sorry. Yes, Gia. Anybody else that I'm missing? Yes, over here on my right. I see you. The Lord bless you. Any moms? You could be a dad or a son. Bless these dear people. Honor them for taking a step of faith this hour. Pour out your spirit. Heal the days of the caterpillar and the locust gnawing away at these lives. And renew their strength through Jesus, we pray. Amen.